We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello and welcome back to Her Hoop Stats Unplugged. As always, you're here with Megan Gower, and it has been a crazy couple of weeks in ACC play. So here today with me is Marissa Sisk from our Her Hoop Stats team. She handles our bi-weekly ACC roundups, lives in the Triangle area, has been to a lot of ACC games this season, and we're going to talk all about all the crazy things that we've seen over the last few weeks in the I just think straight chaos is probably the only way to describe it in league play so far.
It's a good way to put it, yeah. And I was like starting to write my roundup for this week and was like, okay, the 29th is crazy. And then this week happened. I'm like, well, I guess we're not even, okay, close to done.
Yep, exactly. It's just been, I think, no, everyone thought the ACC was going to be really fun going into the season. A lot of top teams, I think it's exceeded expectations in terms of like how good top to bottom it has been so far and the amount of upsets and things like that we've already seen to start off conference play.
Yeah, we're only in week three. Yeah, week three of full play. Obviously, there was that random one in November and then a couple in December, but
yeah,
third week of full go.
All right, so starting out, I feel like maybe we start with what, in my opinion, is probably the most shocking thing, which is Duke at 4-0 in conference play, undefeated, wins over NC State and Louisville, top of the standings, just like we all predicted, obviously. But just what have you seen so far from the Blue Devils that kind of has accelerated that?
Celeste Taylor and their defense, and those two things are not mutually exclusive. In Duke going on the road to their big win at NC State, she was excellent on both sides of the floor. A lot of people are going to point to her offensive performance, but Coach Kara Lawson said in postgame that she was actually more impressed possibly by her defensive performance and was just there at every turn when they needed her, basically. And in a sold-out Reynolds Coliseum, that turned out to be a lot. But it really has been the defense for them. I think they're allowing the fourth fewest points of anyone in the nation. I was working on them earlier tonight, but I've moved on. And just their ability to shut down other teams on defense is probably the top thing you have to look to. And then a lot of contributions from across the board. Again, in that NC State win, Elizabeth Balogun went 6 for 6 from the field. So that's another, they're getting contributions from a lot of players. I think another big one would be the development of Cheyenne Day Wilson as a sophomore now running the floor for them.
Yeah, definitely. A player that really impressed, I thought, in her freshman year. And she's been kind of even better now that we've kind of gotten into stride of this season. So that's been really good for them. I feel like, I don't want to like jump to conclusions because it's only like four games in, but it feels like Duke is certainly inserting themselves into the conversation of you can't leave us out of talking about the title race for the ACC.
Yeah, especially with, like, not that they've played up to expectations exactly this season either, or they've played not up to expectations where Duke has exceeded them, but they've already beat the team that was the pretty much unanimous pick to win the conference in Louisville at home in Cameron. So if that gives you an indication of not only were we apparently wrong about who was maybe going to win the league, and not that Louisville still can't, but just a statement on how Duke is kind of picking up not only the big upsets like the one in Raleigh, but also kind of some of the games that no one would have really picked them to win going into the season or even maybe going into that one.
Yeah, and kind of on that note, maybe talk about Louisville a little bit too, because I feel like they started the season obviously way worse than expected, going from a top 10 team to quickly out of the AP poll. And I thought maybe by this time of year, like, Jeff Walls is a really good coach, they have some great pieces, they would have righted the ship, but I haven't loved what I've seen from them so far in ACC play either.
They haven't been amazing, but they are 3-1. That Duke loss is their only one. And that was, again, on the road, 7-point loss in Cameron. I think that game combined with the, I guess not combined with because it was two games before that, but the DePaul win seemed to be a good win for them to kind of get stuff together. I was at that Duke game, and Coach Walls was actually, like, pretty happy overall with what he had seen. He just said that Duke's defense, again, was pretty much a shutdown in that one. Haley Van Lith started out really cold for them and then got back to more Haley Van Lith type play. But I think that DePaul game seems to have gotten them gelled a little bit, even though they did drop that Duke game since then. And then their other three games, they've beat in conference play. They've beat a Syracuse team everyone expected to be better than last year, but no one would have picked probably the Orange in that one either. And then same thing with Georgia Tech, although that one was also only an 8-point win. So I definitely agree with you that they haven't certainly lived up to their almost unanimous conference winning prognostications by those of us in the media. Or the ACC has a blue ribbon panel, which is a combo, but they certainly haven't lived up to that, but they also have definitely improved since their kind of rough stretch in the Bahamas, I believe.
Yeah.
I sometimes mix up which where.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, once you're through Christmas and the holidays and the New Year, like, Thanksgiving feels like
I could have told you. No, but like, yeah. Some of them went to Mexico, some of them went to the Bahamas. Yeah,
I think it'll be interesting when we see them against some of these other top teams in the league. But the thing that stood out to me, and you pointed out with Georgia Tech, and I think it was the same with Pitt, is just the single-digit wins over kind of the two teams that are rounding out the bottom of the ACC.
Yeah, the two winless teams in conference play.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I still think the team has the pieces, and they have Jeff Walls, and they can get it together. I feel like still haven't really seen them quite give the type of performance we're expecting yet.
Definitely not. Yeah. That's certainly fair.
All right. I'm trying to think where to go next. Maybe I'm jumping all around here, but circling back to kind of maybe the group of teams we thought would be in contention at the start. So we kind of talked about Louisville maybe not measuring up to those expectations, but then I think you've got a group of three other teams that were in that conversation at the start of the year, maybe four other teams in terms of like Notre Dame, North Carolina, NC State, and Virginia Tech is the one that I'm saying maybe wasn't really in that top conversation, but I think probably deserved to be somewhat in that group.
I think Virginia Tech was picked second.
Okay, so maybe they were. I thought they were not.
Okay. But yeah, going back from the bottom of the standings, I guess, to UNC, the team that no one would have expected to be 1-3 in conference play, even if you didn't necessarily expect them to be at the top of the table, lost their first conference game at home to Florida State and then went on the road to Blacksburg and Coral Gables and dropped games to Miami and Virginia Tech, which would give them a 3-game conference losing streak and then a four game overall, going back to their game with Michigan in right before Christmas. And then they came back yesterday and finally won the game against Notre Dame, one of the other teams we had mentioned near, we expected to be near the top of the table, and they are. Speaking of yesterday, they both Paulina Paris and Deja Kelly made it clear that they did not think it was going to be a going back to yesterday, they both Deja Kelly and Paulina Paris had basically kind of put their foot down in postgame and were like, we were not losing this game. It was not going to be a thing. It was not going to be acceptable. And we were not losing this game. And to their credit, they didn't. They also said there was a players only meeting on Friday after that 4-point loss in Coral Gables. So we'll see if this is a turning point like they're saying it is, or if they continue kind of floating around.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they can kind of make that mindset shift that it seems like was there in the Notre Dame game and have some more success going forward. I think a big theme for this UNC team kind of throughout the season has been just like some inconsistency, right? They've played some tough games, and a lot of times it's felt like the first half has just been like extremely lackluster, and then they'll play really well in the second half and be able to dig themselves out of the hole a lot of times, like they did in, I think it was that they were in the Thanksgiving tournament out in Oregon.
Yeah.
And they beat Oregon and Iowa State both with big second half runs. But when you dig yourself into that hole, it becomes hard to come out of it, and you're not always going to be able to do that. So hopefully maybe this is kind of the turnaround for them to be able to really play that 40 minute stretch at the level that they're clearly capable of playing.
Yeah. I mean, they were, like I said yesterday, they were really happy with their performance, as they should have been. 17 point deficit in that Iowa State game that they managed to come back from. And then they just kind of played a more complete game yesterday, and Notre Dame was never really out of it, but North Carolina was able to kind of pull that one out. And then they have one on the road at Charlottesville, speaking of much improved teams, but then they come home for Duke and NC State back to back. So that will certainly be a test of the theory.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll know a lot about where this team stands after those couple games there. It's a good stretch of learning coming up. All right. Okay, so that is North Carolina. Maybe if we keep moving up the standings with that kind of top group. The next one there is Virginia Tech. And I think at 3-3, of course, we can talk about injuries some here, which we can in other places too. But they're still without Ashley Owusu, Elizabeth Kitley also missed a game in that stretch. Yeah. So they've definitely had some injury trouble that's playing into that 3-3 start.
Yeah. Scanning. Yeah. Okay. What was their other conference loss? Coral Gables, Blacksburg. Oh, the Notre Dame game. Right. Okay. Okay, so going up the standings a little more, yeah, like you said, Virginia Tech 3-3 in conference. They were picked, I believe, second in the league. And they don't have, they have one big upset loss. Clemson beat them at home, but the other two were kind of teams that they probably would have been picked to beat, but it would have been close. That Notre Dame 11-point loss at home was kind of a weird one and not what you'd expect to have seen there. They have been hit by injuries a little bit this season, as have a couple other teams, including a couple of the other teams we're going to talk about in that top chunk of the bracket. Liz Kitley didn't play this last game, and then obviously Ashley Wusu's been out for a few. But yeah, dropping the game at Miami and then at home to Notre Dame. But yeah, that game against Notre Dame, obviously the one that they would, you wouldn't have necessarily expected them to lose, but it's kind of the most logical of the two. That 11-point loss at Miami and that loss at Clemson by 5 points, definitely not. I don't think any casual basketball fan or even fairly quote-unquote diehard ACC women's basketball fan would have picked that Clemson loss.
Yeah, the Clemson one is definitely a head-scratcher. It's just kind of like, how do you lose that game? Especially when you're talking about trying to vie for an ACC title. I think all of these teams, right, we've seen these upsets, but if you're trying to win the title in this league, you're really trying to avoid dropping the type of games like that that you should be winning when, you know, there's a lot of really tough matchups coming in that battle for the top. And then Miami also a head scratcher, but I think, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, later in this episode, but I think like Miami is a team that's surprising to start the season as well.
Miami's surprising a lot of people. And like, I think even if you're like, okay, I can see why Miami won this game, the fact that they won it by double digits, and that's actually what I was literally just writing about before we hopped on here, and just that 11-point, they were only the second team to hold Virginia Tech below, I believe it's 40%. No, they were the only team, only the second team to outshoot Virginia Tech from three on the season. And the other team is actually High Point, is the other one, and High Point actually almost doubled them up from three on the same number of attempts. But yeah, the only the second team to outshoot them from three. And Miami also held the Hokies without a field goal for the last almost 6 minutes. So you're not going to win too many games if you go on a nearly 6 minute scoring drought. Yeah. Or sorry, 6 minute field goal drought, but playing essentially.
Yeah. Either way, not a good way to win games.
And then the Hokies also only scored 29 in the second half, their smallest output in a half this season. So definitely a strong performance on Miami from the offensive side, but defense was definitely the story.
Yeah, for sure. So another head scratcher there. Hopefully, I don't know, and you might not know the answer to this either. Have we heard anything on what and when Owusu is expected back? Because I feel like that's just such a huge part of what we're supposed to make.
I haven't heard anything on her. No.
Okay. Yeah, I also haven't. So
I think she tweeted something like, can't wait to get back the other day, but I don't think there was a time frame in that tweet at all.
Yeah, that's very probable. I feel like this team is so hard to judge right now because of that, because there's just such this big piece of what their team should look like missing, and it's hard to evaluate them.
Yeah, and then we add in the Kittley injury. She missed last game. I don't know what her injury is exactly either, but if you lose the reigning ACC player and preseason player of the year, that's not going to help your squad.
Yeah, I think I saw hers was just like a precautionary, like ankle sprain type thing. So it sounded like hopefully nothing long term with that.
Not caught up on that one yet.
I saw a random tweet. I feel like I don't remember who tweeted it to give me the credit, but I did see a tweet that said something about an ankle sprain and precautionary. Moving up, I guess, to the next team in that top group in the standings, you've got NC State at 3-2. Another team that we got to talk about injuries is becoming an unfortunate theme across like all of women's college basketball this year. But they were without Diamond Johnson for a stretch there, so that's playing into. I think they had her back for one of the losses, but the first loss, I believe, there was no Diamond Johnson, and she's their leading scorer and just such a big part of what that team does. So that plays in. But
yeah, Jada Boyd was out for them for a few games too. So yeah, those two, Diamond Johnson, like you said, their leading scorer, and then also kind of the spark a little bit. Both of them, because I've been to a decent number of games up in Raleigh this season, and kind of both of them have the ability, if the team's kind of slowing down or not running right, they can spark them back in. Although one bright spot for them has been Sinai Rivers, who has picked up a lot of the slack. And as a South Carolina transfer, she's been really good for them.
Yeah, and I think something that as they've had players out, if they can continue getting that production from her now that they're back, I think that'll be huge. So yeah, I feel like it's almost like not worth talking about that Duke loss just because it's like, okay, they didn't have these key pieces. It is what it is. But the Boston College one this past week is a little bit of a head scratcher as well, I feel like. It's another one of those losses you wouldn't necessarily pick. And then they also had Boyd and Johnson back in that game.
Yeah, and actually the intervening win, they only shot 11.8% from beyond the arc, which is their second worst performance of the season, I think, if I was looking that up right. And you're, again, not going to win very many games shooting that from beyond the arc when you do shoot a decent number of threes. Yeah, Coach Moore was not real happy on Thursday night, as you might expect, because I was actually at that game in Boston College, and he was just not happy with kind of some of the shots they were taking and then some of their defensive lapses. And some of them were, not to be rude, but pretty epic. There were a couple. Boston College's freshman, Tana Mayer, hasn't gotten as much shine as Tanai Lotson, obviously not. Although this week she is the ACC Freshman of the Week, breaking the all-season streak by Lotson. But there were a couple of plays where she literally was allowed to drive to the hoop unimpeded. And for a team that has as much pride, the three-time defending ACC champions, Coach Moore basically phrased it like, we're not really living up to the standard of this program right now. They did get the win on Sunday to kind of break that streak as well. But yeah, that game against Boston College, they don't lose too often at home in Reynolds, period. And then to kind of drop one to a team that I think was picked somewhere in the lower half of the conference. Not one anyone saw coming, especially because Coach Moore and that fairly senior laden team does a pretty good job of kind of picking up the slack or riding the ship pretty quickly, I guess.
Yeah, and especially when you look at what this team was able to accomplish kind of prior to the conference season, they were outside of their loss to UConn. They didn't lose before ACC play started. They had that win over Iowa, South Florida, a good win too, Georgia. So they've definitely had a lot of success to start the season. So an interesting start to conference play for a team that has really seemed to find their footing pretty quickly, even though they had a lot of lineup changes to start the year.
Yeah, and to lose, to have both their upsets at home, again, Reynolds is a really tough place to play. I think that Boston College game was the only game that they hadn't preemptively sold out all season. Like, I think the rest of the season is sold out. So, yeah.
Well, you love to hear that about the sellouts, but yeah, not a great place to be losing when you have that kind of home crowd advantage.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right. The last team in that kind of initial teams we thought were in that top tier, Notre Dame, which until Sunday was undefeated in conference play. They started off 3-0. But they dropped that road win or road game to North Carolina that we talked about briefly earlier. So now they're moved down to 3-1 on the conference season.
Which is, I mean, pretty respectable, like especially that big win at Virginia Tech, nationally televised game. Obviously last night was as well. But to lose they have an 11-point win on the road in conference play and a 10-point loss on the road in conference play. And then the other two, they beat Boston College by a bunch, which suddenly looks better. And then they beat Miami by just 3. So, I mean, I don't know that Coach Ivy would agree with me, but I would say they're kind of performing pretty solidly even with that loss last night.
Yeah, and a big part of that loss yesterday, too, was they shot horribly from 3, which I think this team has proven that they can shoot the 3, so just an off night, and there's not really much you can do about that, but it happens, and yeah, it cost them the game, but I feel like it doesn't change my opinion about where this team is that much because of that.
One thing that was interesting is Miles was sitting for a while in the fourth quarter, and it was actually a pretty close margin. Obviously, the final margin was 10. I'm not sure why that was. We didn't actually ask Coach Ivy about that, but yeah, Miles was sitting down. Obviously, she's their spark plug. She burst on the national scene last season. If you weren't paying attention to ACC play in the NCAA tournament and that win against Oklahoma. So to see her on the bench in the fourth was kind of an interesting thing to see. But again, it's hard to overcome a really rough shooting night, especially on a loud road environment.
Yeah, exactly. So I think still in a good spot. When you're losing games in this league, you want it to be, if you're going to lose a game, to be to that top tier and not be picking up losses, not against that group. So I think overall, not a horrible loss to pick up in general. I don't think anyone's making it through this ACC season undefeated in conference play. So there's going to be losses, but overall, I still feel like, I don't know. Actually, I'm curious what your opinion is on it. Do you think Notre Dame is the favorite to kind of come out on top right now, or do you have a different
opinion? Let me look. I will say multiple ACC coaches agree with you both. They've said that at tip-off, and they've reiterated that multiple times. Either I've been there in person or I've seen their post-game comments. There will probably – I mean, unless Duke finishes and runs the table, the ACC champion will have at least a couple losses, more than likely. Who would I pick as the favorite now? That's an interesting one. Probably Notre Dame. I just think they have the size to compete with everybody and the outside shooting, although I wouldn't totally count out NC State if they can kind of get their act all the way back together again. Injuries have affected them. I would probably pick Notre Dame or the Wolfpack. Hedging a little bit, which I know isn't great, but I think those two, and then obviously if Virginia Tech, it'll be interesting to see with Owusu having missed this much time, how she gels back in, also being a transfer, so being her first season on the team. But if they have Kitley going again, I think Virginia Tech, but I think I would either pick Notre Dame or NC State.
Yeah, I think the Virginia Tech situation is going to be harder with Owusu missing so much time because, like you said, she's a transfer. You kind of needed some time to get those pieces to figure each other out and play together. And now that you've missed that time, I think trying to gel pieces into, you know, February and March is harder.
Yeah, so dropping into the middle of ACC play is...
Yeah, exactly. Less than ideal for them. But yeah, I think I would lead towards Notre Dame as well, especially because I think when you look at it from more of like a national picture, I feel like Notre Dame is the team that jumps out as like, if you're picking a team from this league that you're saying is like a national title contender, I think it's probably pretty clearly Notre Dame right now. And they've got, like you said, they've got the size to compete. They've got a pretty versatile roster. Olivia Miles, I think, is a huge part of that. And just like the star power and the point guard that can really get it done. So I think to me, they're the favorites. But I think one of the key things too is going to be like, can they really separate themselves? Or is it like, are they, you know, is it really Notre Dame might win it all, but is it a close race between them, NC State, Virginia Tech, through, you know, North Carolina, Duke in that mix as well?
So they have an interesting schedule just flipping over and looking at that. Their next few, because they lost last night, obviously, and then they have Wake Forest hanging out near the bottom. Syracuse, again, better than we thought they'd be, but middling, I think is fair to say. Clemson, lower middling, and then much improved Virginia. So they don't have a really, really tough game, I don't think, with all due respect to those teams, until they come back to rally. Because they have Virginia at home, Florida State at home. Those aren't going to be easy games, but I think the fact that they'll be in Purcell will help their in addition to the fact that I think they would win that game regardless, the fact that it's at home, they're both at home, would help them too. So I think at the end of the month, North Carolina State here in the Triangle might be their next big test.
Yeah, and that certainly should be a very interesting one, I think, as you're looking at where they are. I mean, assuming they kind of take care of business in that stretch as they should, because I think that's going to become, as we look at how much these top teams are going to beat up on each other, a big part of who's going to win this conference is going to come down to who takes care of business in the games that they should win.
Yeah. The other thing with that Notre Dame NC State game is it will, barring knock on all the wood, obviously for everybody, injuries, barring re-aggravation or whatever, that'll give both Boyd and Johnson time to get back in the flow. So that should be a really good matchup with those two against Miles.
Yeah, for sure. I think that one's going to be a definite one. I mean, there's a lot of ACC games to circle on the calendar, slash really all of them, because it seems like every night in and night out, every team can give someone a run for the money. But yeah, that's a big one in terms of conference standings. I think in terms of the national picture, that game is going to be a really big one.
NC State has an interesting run between now and then. They actually only have two games. They have Miami at home, and then they're going to Louisville, which definitely not as easy as Notre Dame's road. And then kind of like maybe not the top tier right now, but definitely like the upper chunk, I think is fair to say, on both of those teams, especially with Miami pulling off the two upsets in a row. That game is at home, which will be nice for the Wolfpack, but definitely a little more tricks for the Wolfpack than the Fighting Irish before their meeting.
Yes, definitely. Speaking of Miami, I feel like we should talk about them some, because I feel like they were a team that I don't think anyone expected too much for them in this conference. I mean, I think people thought they were going to be decent, but not maybe to the level that they have so far in terms of the upsets that they've pulled off. And I think they're really improving the depth of what the ACC looks like this year. And I think that's been...
So that's been interesting, because they've been without Destiny Harden, who most of you will remember from her absolutely crazy performance to beat Louisville in the ACC tournament last year. She's been out with an injury. But like you mentioned, they pulled off an upset at home, for two upsets at home, first against then top 25, I believe number 22 at the time. Yep, number 22 at the time, North Carolina by four. And then they came back and they beat Virginia Tech, number 9 at the time, by 11, I believe. Yep, 11. But the interesting part is Jasmine Roberts, who's a sophomore for them, got her first start ever, because she's only a sophomore, in the UNC game, and led the team in rebounds, and then turned around in the Virginia Tech game and scored 23 points, which is her career high by a full 8 points. So at the same time, it kind of sucks to see Harden out, and that's a tough pill to swallow for Miami, because she obviously can be their spark, as we saw last March. Roberts coming out basically flamethrowing in that game against Virginia Tech, and then you add in Fresno State transfers Haley and Hannah Cavender, especially Haley, who's leading the team in scoring. And well, those are two big upsets to go into to get rolling in conference play.
Yeah, and Haley's been fantastic in particular, I think, for them since conference play started. She's averaging, I think it's 17 points per game so far in ACC play, and shooting 50% from three. So she's been a huge spark for them offensively and helping pull off some of those upsets and the solid start to their season as well. So I think, you know, a team that you're going to have to keep an eye on as they match up, especially once they get Harden back with these top teams.
Yeah, I mean, Harden not only can give them a spark offensively, but she can kind of shut down the other team's best players. And that was really, it was interesting to me, because obviously Roberts had the huge offensive performance. The Hurricanes beat Virginia Tech by 11 at home. But even with that big offensive performance, they shot a decent chunk above both their field goal and 3-point percentage. But Haley Cavender in the post game said that their defense is their bread and butter. And like I said earlier, this is only the Hurricanes are only the second team this season to hold Virginia Tech below, or to beat Virginia Tech from 3-point land.
Yeah, definitely. I think they've been a fun surprise in this league in making it kind of the chaos that we've seen and the depth that we've seen.
I think Duke might still win for fun surprises.
Yeah. Yes.
Fun and unexpected surprises, although I guess if you like more offensive firepower, maybe Duke's not your thing, but I think they
No, I think Duke has been a very pleasant surprise too. I like watching defense. I particularly hate when teams play horrible defense. Kind of on that note of fun surprises, I feel like Florida State's another team that fits into that category, especially because of just how insanely good Latson has been.
Yeah, I was excited in that game where Florida State beat UNC, because it was my first chance to see her live. And it was really interesting to me, because not only is she like averaging 27, I was just looking at this, 24.7. I transposed my numbers, 24.7 points a game, which is fifth best in the country for anyone, not just freshmen. Mm-hmm. Swept every freshman of the week award until this week in the conference, and is probably, unless something changes, going to win National Freshman of the Year with apologies to a few others. It was interesting to me in that UNC game because she didn't have a great first half shooting-wise, but she still found big ways to contribute. I can't remember all of her stats, but I think that's what I was most impressed by, is that she wasn't shooting well. She still found a way to be in the game for her team and kind of contribute and still be kind of the spark. Not, I've been using the spark too much this episode, but kind of like still being able to keep her team in the game even when she wasn't shooting well. And it was kind of really impressive to see.
Yeah, I've also seen her play in person when she played UConn out here at Mohegan Sun in their, I don't know what they called it, some Hall of Fame Classic tournament.
Yeah,
I was really impressed with her. I would even go as farther to say, I mean, I think she's very clearly the front runner for National Freshman of the Year, but I think she's got a conversation for an All-American type season as well at this point. I think she's top five in win shares in the country. A lot of her metrics are really high up there, and I think we will probably see her get some nods on All-American teams this season as well. So I think she's really impressed.
So in that UNC game, she only had 5 first half points, but she managed to pull down 4 rebounds, dished out 3 assists, had a block and 2 steals. Also had 3 turnovers, but that's still not bad. But she ended up with 21 points because she then turned around in the second half. And I wrote my roundup kind of, Florida State took a page out of UNC's book and came out blazing in the second half, and came out better and had 16 points in the second half and still had 4 more rebounds, 3 more and 3 more assists. So I think like you said, she'll get some nods for pretty much every major award.
Yeah, it's just been a really fun player to watch kind of come out of nowhere. I shouldn't say come out of nowhere, but I don't think anyone was expecting necessarily that Florida State was going to be someone that was going to be an All-American consideration this season. And I think she's very clearly made a case for that to start out the year.
Yeah. And with the first year head, well, technically a first year head coach, I should say, Coach Wyckoff served as interim when Semrau stepped down for her mother's health, but basically a first-time head coach. It's kind of cool to see as well.
Yeah, I think a team that is, even if they're not going to, you know, win the ACC this year, has very much exceeded expectations for where people thought they would be coming into the year.
I don't think anyone thought Miami was going to be this good. I don't think anyone thought Virginia might be the other team that a lot of people, Virginia and Syracuse, other teams with first year head coaches well exceeding expectations as well. So shout out to Coach Jack and Coach Mox.
Yeah, I think Virginia, right, they like surpassed their win total from last year. Like, I feel like it was like 3 weeks into the season that they surpassed their win total from last year. So definitely a very good turnaround going there. They've got some fun new pieces. They got Mir McLean, who might have gotten injured this weekend, so hopefully she's okay. But UConn transfer, Sam Brunell is a Notre Dame transfer, so a lot of new pieces on that roster that seem to be coming together well, and definitely a big step forward for Virginia from where they were.
I don't think anyone coming to the season would have seen that 21-point win over Penn State. Like, Penn State, middle bottom of the Big Ten, but still after the season Virginia had last year, I don't think anyone would have seen. They might have seen the win, but definitely not the margin.
Yeah, I think they've had a handful of games, or even just their ability, even in some of these games that they've lost, to keep them close, I think has been impressive as well. So a team to, I don't think they're going to do much, make a lot of noise this year, but I think they're on the right track, and we're going to probably in the coming years see them make some good strides forward.
Yeah, there have been a lot of, should know this off the top of my head, but I don't anymore. If you'd asked me when I was writing my preview, I could have told you. I think there's 4 new head coaches. Is it 4? Wake Forest has new. Yeah, Wake Forest, Florida State, Virginia, Syracuse, all with new head coaches. So 4 new head coaches and some exciting freshmen, I think, has definitely contributed to some of the chaos and some of the fun.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a very fun league, I think. As we like look forward, I mean, I feel like it's becoming a point where like ACC play on Thursdays and Sundays is like must-watch television. And I think when we get to the ACC tournament, it's going to be absolutely wild. Like, that tournament is going to be must-see television every round.
Oh, I'm excited for Greensboro. And then one other note on kind of the new fun parts have been some of the freshmen. Obviously, Latson, we talked about. Tana Mayer, who took the Player of the Week award or Freshman of the Week award from lots in the season. Then Ruby Whitehorn for Clemson has been a lot of fun to watch too, because she's quick and can really get up on the rebounds, especially, and definitely contributed to that win over Virginia Tech.
Definitely, definitely. A lot of young talent, which is always fun to see for the future of the league as well going forward. Well, that's going to be all for today's episode. Thanks, Marissa, for hopping on.
You're welcome.
As always, make sure you rate, like, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to us. Also, be sure to subscribe to the stats site, herhoopstats.com, for all your NCAA stats needs. Subscribe to our free newsletter on Substack, and be sure to follow us on social media at herhoopstats on all platforms. Thanks again for listening.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.